B-Pod Studios.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
is Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Pasta Joe not answering the phone, but who can blame him? Chip, go ahead.
Hey, just calling in. I'm curious as to why we're talking Arizona Cardinals football when the Bruins are in the playoffs.
Yeah. Spend an hour on the Bruins.
Yeah, obviously you just tuned in.
It's just kind of a bummer. You wake up, you're all pumped up about a win, and then you turn on the radio and we're talking Cardinals football like that.
Yeah,
that's fired up. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that we talked about the first pick in the draft.
Let's talk Premier League next.
The same thing. The NFL is just like the Premier League. Don't talk to me in that tone, you piece of garbage. Yeah. The Bruins had a big win. You know what? Why don't you email us and tell us what to do on the show? It's the first pick in the draft, you dumbass. If you watch any national thing, it's all they're talking about, you piece of crap. I'm not doing 4 hours on game one of the Bruins.
And we just talked Bruins, actually.
For about an hour.
For an hour.
We have Judd Surratt at 8:20 in for
just because you woke up and we weren't talking about the Bruins game, that's not my responsibility. Go call your friend and talk about it. We were going to have Pasta Joe on, and that really would have pissed you off. All right, so let's get to the Patriots. The first round receiver that Belichick has taken. Usually Belichick has assumed that that it's all the same. Is my understanding is he thinks receivers are pretty much all the same and that you can get the same value later in the draft. Mm-hmm. I know that he told Dimitrioff in Atlanta not to take Julio Jones, and Dimitrioff, good for him, ignored that advice. And he compared to, he said Doug Baldwin was the same as Julio Jones.
Please.
Right.
Please.
All right, so... This guy's got a fake name, so I don't even know how to...
Nikhil. A lot of great names in this
Nikhil
one.
Harry. Nikhil Harry. Very yes. good. All right. That is a N'Keal. I wonder if that is the only Nikhil in existence.
Probably.
All right. So this is... obviously, they have a huge need at receiver. Is this just picking based on need, or did you guys have him as one of the best on the board at that point?
I didn't have him best on the board overall, but as far as wide receivers, I thought they were all pretty similar. I did like A.J. Brown a little bit better, but they're pretty similar. And Harry is the type of guy I think will fit well with the Patriots, because right now with Tom Brady, the deep ball is not the best. So you're not going to pick a guy who's running a 4-3. You're going to get a guy who's bigger, physical, can run the shorter intermediate routes, and I think it's really going to fit well with the Patriots. And they say he's a smart guy, so hopefully he should be able to pick up the offense also.
There's a few receivers I liked a little bit more, Fred. I like Deebo Samuel a little bit more. I liked I like Paris Campbell a little bit more. And then you just mentioned him, Mike. I liked A.J. Brown. But what N'Keal Harry is a big possession receiver. And he reminds me a lot of one DeAndre Hopkins when I used to cover the Texans down in Houston. He's a little bit bigger, but the way he plays stylistically is very much the same. Big body. He's not going to outrun anybody, but his catch radius is massive, and he will box guys out. And so against smaller defensive backs, he's going to really excel. And Tom's game is not down the field. I mean, look, we saw him. Half a dozen shots down the field in the Super Bowl, and they were all to Chris Hogan. Please, that was your deep ball threat. You know, you don't – this offense, to succeed – look, one of the elements you always kind of want in an offense is you want a deep threat to open things up for underneath guys. But the Patriots, they don't necessarily need that. They're so efficient in their short to immediate pass game with all the things they do in the running game. This guy is going to be – he'll be a good player. I like – there was other guys I thought that maybe were more explosive and flashier. But N'Keal Harry is a damn good possession receiver, much like an Anquan Boldin was, much like DeAndre Hopkins is for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and I got to say, they have 5 picks tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if they took another receiver at some point tonight.
I mean – Why not? Yeah. I mean, absolutely, why not? I mean, I love it. There's look, I know and there's a lot of people say that there's not the elite wide receiver talent for the early round. I get that. But it's a lot of good receivers you can get in that second to third round. So David Seals out of West Virginia, Miles Boykin out of Notre Dame, Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina. There's still going to be a lot of players there available. They got two picks at the end of the second round still. So, and then two picks in the third round for tonight, or three picks in the third round tonight too. So I probably would guess that they'll pick one more receiver in the next five picks that they have tonight.
All right. So if there's all that receiver depth in those rounds, do you agree with taking a guy with the 32nd pick? Do you agree with taking a receiver that high?
I do. I mean, the thing is, they must have really liked him. And if they really like him, they're going to take him. I don't think they really care where it is as much.
If best player available, was there anyone on the board that you thought you were surprised was still on the board and that you thought was a special talent?
Well, special talent? No, not really. There was nobody out there I thought that would change your team. I thought this, you know, from like 15 to maybe like the end of the second round, I think it's pretty similar as far as the talent pool. So I wasn't like pissed they didn't get a guy.
Okay. Because drafting for needs sometimes is not the best.
No.
Not the best.
But as I said, they must have really liked him.
This is a big need, though. This is a big need. And, you know, to answer your question, I think, in my mock draft, I did Bob Sosi and I, by the way, we have the NFL draft show this Sunday at 10 o'clock. Last Sunday, we were talking about, the tight end position. And if Noah Fant was going to be there at 32, I wouldn't want the Patriots to take him. And if he was going to be there, then I had him picking Irv Smith, a tight end out of Alabama. That might have been the only other guy that I would have been, excited to see them get at that pick at number 32, or one of the other receivers I mentioned. But N'Keal Harry he's a good pickup, man, because they need players at that position. Not a burner, but as far as going up, getting the ball, catch radius, tough SOB, great hand fighter. Again, in a league where there's a ton of press coverage, he's going to be a good player.
Question for the both of you. There's a lot of pressure on this kid to pick up the offense. I mean, Nick Caserio went out of his way last night to say, you know what, the college game, the offenses of the college game really don't translate to what we do.
Which was another problem that Belichick has with taking receivers.
Exactly, and we talked about it before the show, Mike. I mean, the high second-round picks, they've been roadkill. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say Bethel Johnson, Chad Jackson, Aaron Dobson, Taylor Price, Brandon Tate, all third-round picks or higher. None of them panned out. You remember Tony Simmons. This is before Belichick, Ted. Mm-hmm. Tony Simmons was a guy who could run real fast, but really had trouble catching the ball and getting open.
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of wide receivers taken very high by this team that haven't picked up the offense. And Caserio said, well, I mean, he seemed to understand what it was we do. The learning curve is steep. And if you're a guy who is a possession receiver who's big, that can make one-handed catches in traffic and grab the 50-50 balls, you have to have the trust of your quarterback to throw the football there. And Tom Brady didn't throw the ball into traffic to anybody but two guys, Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski. One of those guys is now gone.
Well, he didn't really have anybody else to throw
to. I guess what I'm saying is young receivers have not earned the trust of this quarterback. There's a steep learning curve to this offense, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of pressure on this kid to get it right quick because, as you said, there aren't a lot of guys. There aren't a lot of options.
And maybe they just missed it and took guys who didn't pan out. I mean, early in Brady's career, he had David Givens, Deion Branch. Those guys worked out, and they came in as young players and played pretty well. So, you know, maybe they were just missing on these picks. And, you know, if you take an Irv Smith, they've always said the Patriots system tight end is by far the hardest to pick up. So, you know, if you draft a tight end, then you're even at a tougher position to learn. So you grab a big possession wide receiver, and hopefully he can help you out, you know, between the 20s.
And what was one of the best attributes to Gronk when he was here in situationally in the red zone? A great red zone target, right? I mean, like not last year. I think he had three touchdowns, but previously in his career, he's always been a guy you can count on in the red zone, okay? N'Keal Harris is a guy that you can get the ball to in the red zone. He had 9 touchdowns this year. He's a guy that you can go one-on-one with on those little fade routes in the red zone. And so he's a big body possession receiver who can be a threat in the red zone for Tom with Tom Brady. You know what? And even though in the past these wide receivers haven't worked out, or there's been a slow learning curve for these guys, you know what? Maybe this kid's different. Maybe this kid's got a really high football IQ. I mean, he's very productive at Arizona State, over 1,000 yards and 73 catches. That's very high production for a kid in college right there.
And Malcolm Mitchell, you know, outside of the injuries, picked it up pretty quickly and played well when he was on the field. He just couldn't stay on the field. That was the problem.
He was in a book club with old ladies.
All right. And one thing to know, too, Fred, is the one thing that could set this kid back's development to some degree, and I totally misread this. I did not see this coming. I said, for sure he won't skip out on a second OTA offseason, and that's Tom Brady not being here for OTAs. Him not being here for OTAs is going to maybe delay his development with N'Keal Harry and getting him kind of where he needs to be to start the season.
Yeah. I mean, reminds me when my wife's pissed at me. Ugh. Boo.
I just thought he would come back. I thought last year missing the OTAs, it was because he was trying to prove a point to Bill. And then so this year, he's like, well, we won the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't need to be there.
And Ben Roethlisberger signed that monster contract, and here I am making, you know, dimes on the dollar.
Yeah.
I'll see you when it counts.
Yep. All right. Bert Breer is going to join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 32nd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer joins us now. Bert, were you in Nashville?
I was not. I'm in New York.
Oh. Well,
Sorry about that.
You're good for nothing. Okay.
All right.
When you overlook the draft here and what happened in the first round, you're over there at MMQB. You join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Now, was there any point where I imagine you're watching the draft with other people, correct?
Right, yeah. We were doing a show while the draft was going on. Yeah.
Okay. What picks did you go, oh, my God, what the hell is going on?
I was surprised the Giants took Daniel Jones 6th overall. I was surprised the Raiders took Cleveland Farrell 4th overall. So I think it was, like, almost right away. And the reason why, I mean, there are really five, I'd say, elite defensive players, depending on who you talk to, some would say four. You have Nick Bosa and Quinton Williams at the top, and they went 2 and 3 where they should have gone. And then, you know, after that, you had Josh Allen, Devin White, and depending on who you talk to, maybe you have Ed Oliver in that group. And so, you know, seeing Cleveland Farrell, not that he's a good player, but seeing him go 4th overall over Devin White, over Josh Allen, over Ed Oliver, that obviously, you know, got my attention. And then I just thought the Giants could probably have gotten Daniel Jones later on. And so, you know, I feel stupid saying this because it's, you know, if you for weeks now I've said if you have conviction on a quarterback, you won't tie your job security as a guy. Like, you know, if you're the Giants, don't risk it. Don't wait till 17. Take him at 6. So I can understand taking him at 6. It just feels like they probably could have gotten him either with the lower pick or maybe just a short trade-up with the lower pick.
Yeah, but some people didn't have him. Some people had him the 5th-best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. Yep, and I think it sort of depended on who you talked to. There were a couple teams I talked to that thought
he had more upside than any of them, including Kyler Murray. Then you talk to some other people, and they would tell you he's a third or a fourth round pick and probably a backup in the NFL. And I think that was sort of the risk of taking a quarterback this year. This group was not as good as the 2018 group with Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen. And it's probably not going to be as good as the group next year with Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon. And I just, you know, Fred, there's massive risk in taking a quarterback in an off year like that. You're probably rolling the dice. And we've seen it before. 2011 was that way, and Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder were overdrafted. We saw it in 2014 where Blake Bortles went. E.J. Manuel going 16th overall in 2013. And so it doesn't mean Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray. It doesn't mean they're going to be bad players. It's just, you know, I think historically when you look and you see the years where quarterbacks have gone when, you know, you think maybe they're getting a little overdrafted or they're manufactured just because it's not a good year at the position. Generally, we've seen, you know, teams put in awfully bad positions. And I think your radar has to be up for that with both the Jets, with both the Giants and the Reds, because just because of the kind of year it was, the position.
All right, Bert. A lot of people are like happy that maybe the Patriots got a wide receiver, but a lot of people thought that they would go a different direction at wide receiver, maybe a Deebo Samuel, maybe a, you know, a Paris Campbell, an A.J. Brown. Instead, they went with N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State, big kid, possession receiver. Your thoughts on the Patriots getting N'Keal Harry at number 32?
I thought it was interesting, Ted, just because this guy's like a little bit more of a big outside receiver. Doesn't mean he can't play inside, but we haven't seen them go with a big outside receiver high in the draft, probably since Chad Jackson, I would say, in 2006. And I'm not saying this is going to be Chad Jackson, but you know, generally they've sort of valued smaller, twitchier receivers. This is the kind of guy that you're probably going to put outside the numbers and can go win one-on-one. Really good player, really good, really productive player at Arizona State. A tough kid, which, you know, it seems like he's going to fit into the program pretty well. It's just, it's sort of outside what they've looked for in the receiver position in the past. And I think it also tells you this. This is the interesting part to me. Obviously, Chris Hogan's on now. He's a guy who can play outside. I think it also tells you that, for right now at least, they're viewing whatever they get from Josh Gordon as a bonus in addressing the need to have an outside guy on the roster.
All right. So who were the best players on the board for you?
Right now, like that are left, you're saying?
No, that were yesterday.
Yesterday? I mean, I, like I said, I think that there was two players that most people would agree were above the rest, and that's Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa. And so I think it makes – I mean, look, the Jets obviously have, you know, a defensive lineman they took high a few years ago in Leonard Williams. Maybe there's some question how you play them together. But I think for the Jets to take Quinnen Williams third and the Niners to take Nick Bosa second, that makes sense because, you know, most people felt like those are the two best players in the draft. And then, you know, you see Ed Oliver go to Buffalo. You see Devin White go to Tampa. You see Josh Allen go to Jacksonville. Those all made sense, too, just because of what the league consensus was on them. And the one wild card where I think, you know, the kid could wind up being, again, like on the Quinn Bosa level, was this kid Jeffrey Simmons, who went 19th overall to the Titans. There's the video from high school, which is awful. But in the 3 years since, he's been a very good citizen. The people of Mississippi State very much vouched for him to any NFL person that came through there the last couple of years.
Is he the kid that was at Michigan State?
No. Okay. That's just thinking of Montez Sweat, who has a lot of problems with the with the marijuana, and he obviously has the heart issue too. This is the other kid who had the video from high school and tore his ACL in January. He's 6'5", 300 pounds, like this interior defensive lineman who, yeah, I think most everybody said based on tape, he's just as good. He's in that level with Bosa and with Quinnen Williams. But, you know, you've got the videotape, obviously, of what happened in high school, the act of what happened in high school.
What do you do in high school?
Well, have you seen the video?
It's bad.
No, it's really bad. ESPN, to give him credit, played it right after he was drafted.
I didn't see it. What's the video?
All right, so I'll give you guys what my understanding of the story was, okay? basically this, it's a video basically of him hitting this girl while she's on the ground. This girl apparently, and this is how the story goes, attacked his mom and said some pretty terrible things to his sister about her having miscarriages. And so, I mean, like, there's no excuse for something like this ever. But it was a once, it happened 3 years ago, and he's been, you know, again, a model citizen since. And so he was off some draft boards because of that. There were some teams where for the owner, and this is one of those things that gets run up the flagpole, you know, all the way to ownership, but the owner just said no. And so there were some teams that just couldn't draft him because the owner was not going to deal with everything that would come along with that. And then, you know, he tore his ACL in January training for the combine. And so there's a lot there. He's a very, very good player the last couple of years at Mississippi State, to the point where some people thought he was just as good as Nick Bosa and Quinton Williams. And so the Titans, who, you know, are actually probably the team most local to Mississippi State, you know, they draft him. He may be a redshirt this year. Maybe you get him on the back half of the year. But you know, he could wind up being just as good a player as anybody in the draft.
The Washington Redskins, Bert, are fascinating to me. And as you well know, the story in the 48 hours leading up to the draft is that Daniel Snyder cleared everyone out and said, I'm taking control of this in the first round. He wanted a quarterback. Apparently, the head coach and the scouting staff wanted something else, and a quarterback fell to them in the first round. What's your information tell you about what happened in the draft room?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, you guys know that Dan Snyder's son went to high school with Dwayne Haskins, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
So,
I love it.
So Dan Snyder's son went to high school with Dwayne Haskins.
Oh,
some of the buzz outside of that building, like within scouting circles the last few weeks, told you was that because they've got like a little bit of an empty seat problem. And remember, this is a franchise that had, what, a 20, 30-year waiting list for tickets, right?
Yeah.
And now they're having trouble selling the place out. Snyder really liked the idea of the local kid coming home. It was a very sellable thing to play quarterback for the Redskins, all that different stuff. I don't know if there was massive disagreement in the building, but I do know Daniel Jones has some support in there. And ultimately, I think what people in that building were afraid of was the draft was going to start and Snyder was going to kind of get itchy and force a massive swing up the board. And so I think what they were afraid of was that all of a sudden, you know, you're going to get past the second pick, you're going to get to the third pick. There were the rumors about the Raiders being interested in Haskins. And all of a sudden, Dan Snyder was going to order some huge trade up the board and commandeer the quarterback process the same way that he did in 2012 when they drafted RG3. And so I think the result, I mean, after going through all of that, the final result actually winds up being okay, because I think Dwayne Haskins is a good player. And they didn't do something crazy to go and get him. They sat there in 15. They drafted him. They're going to be able to sit him if they need to sit him. And that's probably right in the range where Dwayne Haskins belongs going anyway.
All right. Well, it sounds to me like the Jets got the best player in the draft. So look out, Super
Bowl.
They may have
just sat right there and got the best player in the draft. They really wanted to move that pick, Fred. But in the end, I think, you know, without the ability to replace that second-round pick and get something next year, they weren't going to move. And so, I mean, look, there's the question of how they're going to play him with Leonard Williams.
No, they'll figure it out. Adam Gase is a genius.
The comp I got for him, though, you know, from a bunch of different people, was that he just souped up Geno Atkins. So if that's what you're getting.
Wow. All right. Well, Bert Breer, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys.
I really appreciate it. Well, look out. Is it Tampa this year?
It's in Florida. I think it's Miami this year.
All right. Well.
Either way, it's either Tampa or Miami.
No, it's Tampa.
Is it Tampa?
Was it
Tampa
Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yes, it is in Tampa.
So, Monzenus, look out. You're going to have some Jet fans there. All right. Here are the headlines. We'll get into the Kyler Murray or Tyreek Hill situation in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich.
Real nightmare.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Recaps coming up at 8. Judd Surratt going to be in studio for the rest of the 8 o'clock hour. Danny Ainge at 9. Tyreek Hill is probably out of the NFL until some scum takes him back onto their team. Tyreek Hill was having a taped conversation with his fiance, and they're talking about his behavior with their 3-year-old child and 3-year-old son. And it is intimated that the arm was broken of the 3-year-old. And here is some of the tape of Tyreek Hill talking to his fiance about the condition of the child and the child's experiences.
You're not listening to me. Think about why a freaking 3-year-old would tell everybody and anybody that you broke his arm. Why would you do that? Then why?
I'm the one that plays with him, maybe. That's why you don't do with him. I'm the one that get physical with him.
No, I play with a hell of a lot more than you do. You just sit on your game all the damn time.
That's all you need to do.
So don't sit here and tell me I don't play with
you. Right. You right, bro. Like I said, I'm sorry for whatever happened. Because obviously this wasn't a match made in heaven right here. You know what I'm saying? We don't need no beef.
No, we don't.
Everywhere we go, my son loves on me. Everywhere we go.
And then when we get home, what is it?
And when we get home, it's for real. It's serious time. It's time to lock in because he know I don't play. I want my son to learn respect, something that you did not teach our son, and something that he will get ran over in his work. Because first of all, our son is black. These white folks don't give a about our kids. They don't. And you know that, bro, and that's sad, bro.
Just things could have been handled a lot differently with him than the way that they have been now.
Right.
And these twins.
Right. You got it, bro.
And they said time and time again that literally kept saying, Daddy punches me, which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
okay,
do.
Okay, so what about you? What you don't do, you also, I'm just going to take
no,
it.
No, I told
you don't
I told him that he gets whooped. I told him that he gets whooped, but I don't use a belt, which is totally
you
different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt? Now I really want you to sit and think about it, because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people. You really, really, really need to think about why says somebody broke his arm, and every single time he says it to you.
I don't know.
And then if I look at him, he'll change his story.
Cause he telling the truth then, bro, and that's sad, bro.
Like, so, and then you sit here and tell me
program, bro.
No, and then you sit here and tell me that I'm not riding for you.
You're not, bro. You ain't riding for me in 2014. You damn sure ain't riding for me now, bro. Look,
he is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect.
Me.
It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me too. That's why you can't.
All right, so he's not going to play football again.
Nope.
That'll do.
How hard is it not to hit a 3-year-old in the chest?
Oof.
I mean, how hard is it? What kind of moron can't discipline a 3-year-old without hitting him in the chest? Listen, if you want to spank your kid, that's your own problem. I'm not getting involved in that. That's fine if you want to do that. I don't do it, but if you want to do it, that's fine.
Open up your arms.
And hit you.
You'd have him open up his arms and then punch him in the chest.
A 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the size of a 3-year-old. I mean, what kind of stupid ass idiot cannot discipline a child without hitting him in the chest and breaking their arm? My God, you can't handle a 3-year-old.
You've got to teach them respect, is what he said.
Yeah, 3-year-old, they can really
decipher.
Really, yeah, they can really absorb that whole
what that whole respect thing means, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is horrible. This is sad. This is it's shocking in a lot of ways, and it's to me the audio changes everything. It's a game changer, right? I mean, when you hear it's a video with the Ray Rice, you know, when you see it and you can hear it, it just changes everything, right? And so When you hear this, it's heartbreaking. You feel awful for this kid. The one thing is if people are wondering where the child is, he is not with either the mom or the dad at this point. This audio right here is going to be such that I can't imagine ever, Fred and John, any team picking him up later on when this will all eventually die down. Like Kareem Hunt, what happened to him? He did eventually get picked up by the Cleveland Browns. He will be suspended to start the 2019 season. This audio will make Tyreek Hill untouched. You cannot touch this guy. Nobody, no team can justify bringing this guy in.
No, you can't. I mean, he's hitting 3-year-olds and breaking their arms. I don't understand. Listen, I got two kids. I don't. What maniac can't control a 3-year-old kid without hitting him? I mean, there's kids out there with like emotional problems that like have fits, and their parents are able to calm them down without smacking them in the chest. Open up your arms and hit you in the chest. I when we get home, it's serious. I'm serious with a 3-year-old. They don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. Their brains are formed. Their brains are mush.
Mm-hmm. He says he's got to get physical with them to teach them respect at 3 years old. You know, it's sad. The only thing I get, Fred, I can think of is that it's repeating the cycle. And that's the only thing you think about is like, well, it was done to Tyreek Hill. That doesn't justify it at all. That's the only thing you can think of is that's how he was raised. But that maybe he thinks that within his mind it is okay to do the same thing.
Wouldn't you think, though, that if you were abused like that as a kid, thing that you'd want to do is repeat that behavior?
You would think, Fred. You would think.
Again, if you want to spank your kids, that's not my business. Go ahead. That's not my business. I don't do it, but I'm not going to get involved in your life. The idea that you can't handle a kid, I mean, what kind of moron? You can't outthink a 3-year-old? Mm-hmm. I mean, what kind of moron can't outthink a 3-year-old? Tell them there's no dessert. They have a spaz attack. Yeah.
Every other 3-year-old does.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what 3-year-olds do.
Open up your arms and let me hit you in the chest. Go, what the hell's wrong with you? The major thing to me is that having had 3-year-olds, that you can't outsmart them.
There's no, you can't reason with a 3-year-old.
No.
Right?
You could tell a 3-year-old, I can't bring up some of this stuff because they're listening. But 3-year-olds think there's like goblins in the closet. Like you can't. My Lord. Now, do you yell? If you're me, yes. You lose your patience at times.
But to physically put your hands on a child like that, and he admitted so in that audio, it's very disturbing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.